Well, certainly it's good to see so many who are back again tonight. In fact, there's quite a few that are still here. We had a wonderful attendance at our men's planning session for the new year. I think in all there were probably over 40 men that participated in our meetings this afternoon. And it makes you have a lot of optimistic feelings about the future of the congregation here and the things that we hope to work together to accomplish. I'd ask you, if you would, to turn to 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 9. Years ago, I used to direct a week at Fort Hill Christian Youth Camp, which is down in the southwest part of Ohio. I remember when I started doing that, I had no idea on how just hard of work that would be. I would be up about an hour before the bell rang in the morning, and I would be up about an hour after all of the campers went to bed. One summer, it was extremely hot, and about 11:30 at night, I told a couple of the men teachers and counselors and the boys who worked in the kitchen that I thought we should open up the swimming pool and go swimming that night. And so the others ran on ahead. I still had some things to do, and so I stayed behind. And when I got ready to go, I was by myself. It was pitch dark outside, and I didn't have a flashlight. Well, I was sure I could find my way through the woods to the swimming pool, but I was wrong. Pretty soon, I began stepping in holes and bumping into trees, and after a while, I wasn't even sure that I was headed in the right direction. And so, what could I do? Well, the only thing that I could do was I hollered for help. I asked, "Somebody, please shine a light down here." And after they got done laughing, they did. And I could see my way pretty well then, and I was making my way through the woods, and I could see where the pathway in front of me, that was until I was about halfway up and the jokers turned the light out on me again. So I guess it was then that I think about that story, now when I read this passage from 1 John. Because he's talking about the importance of walking in the light. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 7, he says, "But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness." You know, in this single verse, John reveals that there is a way that we can know, first of all, have a close personal relationship with God. Secondly, a loving, strengthening fellowship with other Christians. And thirdly, assurance. The promise of justification, the possibility of standing before God completely free of sin or condemnation. That really is the very essence of Christianity. Everything that we hope for and live for as a Christian is found in this single verse. And upon what condition does all of this hope rest? It rests upon walking in the light. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And that's why it's so important for us to know if we truly are walking in the light. And so what does it mean to walk in the light? Well, first of all, before we can walk in the light, we must be in the light. But what is this light? In a spiritual sense, light represents truth, honesty, purity, all that is good, wholesome, and praiseworthy. In verse 5, John tells us that the source of all spiritual light, when he says God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Now notice that John does not say here that God has light. He says that God is light. The very essence of God is light. He is goodness and truth and purity. In order for man to share in these qualities, we must get them from God. This is the reason that Jesus was sent into the world, to share his light with man. It also is in John's account of the gospel, in John, the first chapter, when he talks about the fact that Jesus Christ was preexistent, that he existed with God from eternity. In the beginning was the Word, John 1 and verse 1, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Speaking of Jesus, John writes in John chapter 1, Verses 4 and 5, in Him was life, and the life was the light of man. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Verse 9, He said, that was the true light which gives light to every man who comes into the world. By sending Jesus into the world, God revealed Himself. He showed us how God intends for us to live, how He created us to live. And when we are exposed to the light of Jesus, the ways of man are revealed to be selfish and sinful and deceiving. By sending Jesus, God put us in a position of having to choose. Every man who has ever lived has been confronted by the same decision. Will we choose good or evil? Will we follow after God or Satan? But mankind failed the test. For all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We have all made that wrong decision in our life. And that decision has brought about our condemnation. In John chapter 3, verses 19 and 20, Jesus said, this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world. And men love darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who loves the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. You know, sometimes we wonder why more people do not accept the gospel. Sometimes we wonder why it seems that there are many people that have no interest in spiritual matters whatsoever. Well, it's really quite simple. It's because most people have already made their decision. They have chosen to live for the pleasure of sin in this life rather than the hope of salvation that is found in the life to come. And why are not more interested in the Word of God and in Christianity? For the same reason that people wait until dark to murder or steal or rape or get drunk. It's because their deeds are evil and they don't want the truth about themselves to be revealed for others to see. But there are also those who do care, and those who do respect the truth and desire to be pure and whole and clean. They are the ones who will come to Jesus. So you see, Jesus is the light. In John chapter 8 and verse 12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And so to be in the light, you must be in Jesus. And so before we can have a personal relationship with God, and before the blood of Jesus can cleanse us from every sin, we must be in Jesus Christ. And so the most important question for anyone who does not already have this hope then is, how do we get into Jesus? How do we get into the light so that we can walk in the light and have this relationship with God, this fellowship with one another, and the hope of eternal life that is found by being in Jesus? Well, in all the Scriptures, there is only one way that we are told that we can get in and must get into Christ. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27, we read, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And so what is the first step towards standing uncondemned before God in judgment? Well, you've got to be in the light. We must repent of our sins, confess the name of Jesus before men, and then be baptized into Christ. In Acts chapter 26 and verse 18, Jesus said that this is the purpose of our preaching, to open men's eyes and turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive the forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. So first of all, we must be in the light. But secondly, we are told not only to be in the light, we are told that we must walk in the light. Well, what does that mean? Well, since Jesus is the light, it means that we must walk in Him. Now, there are several passages of Scripture that I'd like to look at tonight that in which we are told what it means to walk in the light. First of all, to walk in the light means to walk in the truth of God's Word. You know, many times light is used by our doctor as a way to examine us for physical illness. There's a lot that can be seen by a doctor by looking at us through a powerful light, and so as awkward as it is, when we go for an exam, the doctor shines his light in our eyes and in our ears and up our nose, in our mouth, because with that powerful light, he is able to see things about our health. He is able to diagnose things. He is able, if there are problems found, to diagnose and to treat those problems. I even had a doctor one time tell me that I would have to swallow a light so he could look at my stomach. And when he said that, for some reason, came to mind the trouble light hanging in my garage. You know, that 75-watt bulb with a cage around it. Well, fortunately, his technology had advanced more than that. And yet, the Word of God, we are told, is like that light, in that it allows us to examine our lives as they exist in the eyes of God. In Psalm 119 and verse 105, David said, "Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." And just like that powerful beam of light used by the doctor to detect disease in our physical body, the light of God's word makes it possible for us to look at the soul. The Hebrew writer in Hebrews 4 and verse 12 compares the Word of God to a sword. Literally, I believe it's more in comparison to a surgeon's scalpel. It is not there to destroy, but rather it is there to reveal. And the writer says, "For the Word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow. It is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." And so through the Word of God, we are able to see ourselves the way God sees us, to know the truth, even about our inner thoughts and our inner motives. And so walking in the light is to daily examine ourselves and to humble ourselves and to keep on the path that God has given us to walk in His Word. And so to walk in the light, we must walk in the light of God's Word. Secondly, to walk in the light is to walk in purity. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15. Paul says that you may be blameless and harmless, the children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. You know, it should be something, there should be something noticeably different about Christians. The difference that even the world will recognize. You know, you hear people talking about the fact that it is so difficult to live the Christian life today in the culture in which we are living. There are a lot of people that truly believe that these are the most wicked times that have ever existed. Now, it is true that there have been times in which the hearts of men were generally more attuned to the Word of God, but there certainly have been times when men have been as wicked as they are today, and even worse. Paul called his generation a wicked and perverse generation. But one thing that should remain constant is, regardless of how the world may be living, we must be living the way that God wants us to live. And purity will be noticeable in any generation. In a world that is vicious, where men walk all over one another in order to get their way, Christians are to be blameless and harmless. In a world where men are immoral, the way that people dress and act is lascivious and indecent, we are to be, as Christians, modest, decent, and pure. every day, in every way, the way we dress, the language that we use, our attitude toward material things, the entertainment that we choose, the way we treat one another should show that we are not in the mainstream. Because we are not looking for our instructions to Satan, because he is the prince of this world, or to the world as our example. But rather, we are looking to God. I can remember when I was a child and I learned in science class, to my amazement, that the moon has no light of its own. The moon has no light of its own, rather it simply reflects the light of the sun. And in the same way, it's not that as Christians we are better than those in the world around us. We have no righteousness in and of ourselves. But by following after Jesus, by seeking to be holy as God is holy, then we reflect His purity to the world. The glory of any Christian is to live lives in such a way that Jesus is admired by men. And so to walk in the light is to walk in the light of God's Word. It is to walk in purity. Thirdly, to walk in the light is to walk in good works. Luke, in the book of Acts, he quotes Peter in his second sermon, where he summarizes the life of Jesus by saying, "He went about doing good." And so if we are walking in the light, the same will be true of us. Jesus talks about this in Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 14, when he says to us that we are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. When I was a boy living in Massillon, Ohio, I remember one summer night we came out of a church service and we saw one of those big spotlights scanning the sky. Now, that was a pretty common way to advertise things back when I was a child. I'm sure it was World War II surplus. It were these big spotlights. And so we came out from services one night and we saw one of those spotlights. And my father decided that we were going to follow that light and see where it was coming from. And so we left Massillon. Soon we were in Canton. It was getting closer. We wound through a bunch of one-way streets and back alleys. Finally, probably 35 or 40 minutes later, we came to the source of the light. A new service station had opened. Big deal. My dad said, even if he was on empty, he would not fill up. Well, that light served a purpose. We knew that station was there. Now, you see, this is what Jesus is saying, that we as Christians, we as a church are to be involved in good works so that people will know that God is there, that God's people are there. Before people know or even have any reason to question our doctrine, what we believe and why we believe it, they should already be able to see the good that we do to our neighbor, in our community, to one another. That we are a people who love and care for our fellow man. If we're not doing good like Jesus did, then we're not His disciples. If we're not doing good like Jesus did, then we are not walking in the light as He is in the light. So to walk in the light means to walk in good works. Fourthly, to walk in the light is to walk in love toward your brother. This is another way that our spiritual condition can be revealed by the light. Again, in 1 John chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. John says, "He who says that he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness. He who loves his brother abides in the light." Once again, John makes it plain that not everyone who claims to be a Christian, not everybody who claims that they are walking in the light really is. Some are just, well, John says, lying. We can't be following Jesus if we don't care for our brother. Jesus loves each of us more than all the world. Jesus loves every man, every woman, every child to the point that he was willing to give his life on the cross. We cannot really love Jesus if we don't accept those that he died for. And so, in order to be walking in the light, we must walk in love for our brother. A fifth thing that we are told about walking in the light is that walking in the light is waiting and watching and being prepared for his return. Matthew, the 25th chapter, Jesus tells the parable of the five wise and the five foolish virgins. The foolish ones are like many Christians. They started out with good intentions for a time. They kept their lamps burning bright. They simply didn't keep it going. And so when the bridegroom came, their lamps had run out and they were unprepared. The virgins who were wise, and every Christian who is wise, will continue to walk in the light and will always be prepared. So what does it mean to walk in the light? To walk in the light means to walk according to God's word. To walk in the light means to walk in purity. To walk in the light means to walk in good works. To walk in the light means to walk in the love of our brethren. And to walk in the light means to walk in preparation for the Lord's coming again. Well, finally, what will be the blessing for those who walk in the light? Now, John promises two blessings to the Christian who is faithfully walking in the light. First of all, he says that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we will have fellowship with one another. Fellowship is such a wonderful thing. It's one of the greatest blessings in the Christian life. But I'm afraid that sometimes that we have cheapened it. We relegate fellowship to the idea of simply that which is social, having a good time with one another. But the fellowship that John speaks of here is so much more. It's spiritual, not just social. It includes bad times as well as good. It is the common bond that we have in Christ. It should mean that we share one another's lives, that we weep with those who weep, we rejoice with those who rejoice. When we bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ, it is when we worship God together in spirit and in truth. It is when we confess our failings one to another and pray one for another. The world has companionship and friendship and camaraderie, but it is nothing like the fellowship that is had in Christ. And you know, true fellowship is not optional. It is the result of walking in the light. And so if you are following Jesus and I am following Jesus, then we're going to have fellowship with one another. If you're right with God and I'm right with God, then we are going to be right with one another. On the other hand, if I am out of fellowship with God, or you are out of fellowship with God, then we cannot be right with one another. There'll be division between us. And so the way to have fellowship is to walk in the light. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the relationship that we have with one another will be the most wonderful possession that we have in this earth. It is truly a foretaste of heaven to come. The second result, a second blessing of walking in the light, and perhaps the greatest promise to be found on the pages of God's Word, is if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. I have spoken to so many Christians who have admitted that they had very little security or assurance about their salvation. Now, it is true that the Bible says that we sin and that sin will separate us from God. And John in this passage says that if we say that we do not sin, we are that we're deceiving ourselves. The truth is simply not in us. And so there are many Christians who get afraid because no matter how hard we try, we will still sin. I remember baptizing a young man many years ago, and I baptized him on a Sunday, and he came to my office on Thursday. And he was so discouraged because he said, "I've been trying so hard," but he said, "I know I've sinned." And I said, "Of course you have. We all sin and fall short of the glory of God." God is not saying that in order for us to go to heaven, we must never have sinned or none of us would have any hope. But what He has said is that we must never stop trying. We must be faithfully walking in the light. Heaven is not prepared for those who are perfect, but heaven that God does demand of us that we are faithful. Now we understand when we obey the gospel that the blood of Jesus washed away our sin. We believe in the power of Jesus' blood. We know that there is no stain of sin that it cannot remove. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. But where do we go from there? How long will it be until we make a mistake, until we sin? Can we go for an hour, a day, a week? If we are honest, we'll admit that we still sin. In verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. Does this mean, well, it's over for me? Does it mean that I had a chance of salvation and I blew it? Well, certainly not. Jesus' blood did not stop flowing at the cross nor in the water of baptism. John says, if we walk in the light and continue to walk in the light, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from our sin. Now, the Greek word here for cleanse is in the present perfect tense, which literally means that it keeps on cleansing us from our sin. Now, the New Testament certainly does not teach once saved, always saved, but it does teach there is a way that we can live that will assure us of a home in heaven when we die. The missing element that many fail to see is grace. I cannot be saved without it, because when I've lived the very, very best that I can live, I'm still a sinner saved by grace. And when I have done all that I can do, Jesus said that I am still an unprofitable servant. I can't be perfect, but I must keep on walking in the light. Now, we're not talking here about having a casual attitude about sin. We're not speaking of a cheap grace. Sin is a terrible thing. And a Christian who commits sin is just as guilty of that sin as one who is in the world, perhaps more so. But we're humans and we will fail. Thanks be to God, He will give us another chance if we are walking in the light. You know, when you're walking in the light, you recognize if you've stepped out of it. And when we are following Jesus, we recognize when we have fallen short. In verse 9, He has promised us that if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us of that sin. But He goes even further. Not only will He forgive us those sins of which we knew and repented and asked His forgiveness, but if we continue to walk in the light, if we continue to have a humble spirit and a penitent heart, He has promised that He will forgive us of that sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I'm sure that I've committed many sins that I'm not even aware of. A fleeting thought, something that someone that I have unintentionally hurt, an opportunity to do good that I omitted. But the good news, the reassuring is that these things are not going to keep us out of heaven, not if we are walking in the light. And when we as a faithful Christian stand before God to be judged, and the book of our life will be open for all to see. How many sins will be listed there? Well, none. They have been washed away by the blood of Jesus. By the blood of Jesus, we will be washed perfectly clean. We will be justified, which means to be weighed in the balance and found just or acceptable to God. Sometimes we say the word of justified. The definition of justified means just as if I'd never sinned. And so what tremendous promises we have in God's Word. What great assurance has been given to us in this text. Do you want to be right with God and have meaningful fellowship with other Christians? Do you want to have great assurance that when this life is over, there is a home that has been prepared for you in heaven? Well, first of all, we must be in the light. We must be in Christ. We must be baptized into Christ. And then we must continue to walk in the light. We must continue to walk by following God's Word. We must walk in the light by walking in purity. We must walk in the light by walking in good deeds. We must walk in the light by loving our brother. And certainly we must walk in the light by being prepared for the Lord's return. And then if we are faithful unto death, we can have the assurance of knowing that we will go to be with God forever. Such tremendous promises have been made to us in God's Word. Tonight, if you're not a Christian, what hope do you really have? Some people deceive themselves, they fool themselves. They think that, well, it's well between me and God, but if our sins have not been washed away, it's not. And even a lifetime that is filled with being a good person, doing good things, will not atone for a single sin. The only thing that can take away our sin is the blood of Jesus. And the only way that we can reach that blood is by being obedient to the gospel, by being baptized into Christ. And so tonight, don't you want to have this day come to an end, knowing that it's well with your soul? You can lay your head on your pillow tonight and know that all is well. And then even if this life should end this night, that we're assured of a home with God in heaven. Maybe in our Christian lives we recognize that we're not walking in the life as we in the light as we should. I'm sure that there are things about each of us that we can examine our lives, and we can go to God and we can ask for help in doing better. It may be that you need the help of your brothers and sisters in Christ. We're here for that purpose. Tonight, if you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, we encourage you to do so. While together we stand and while we sing.